This week, Hawaii's media and you received resounding support from the Hawaii Supreme Court to not be shut out of a public trial. The ruling answered a challenge to the judge's actions in the trial of Christopher Didi. At issue was her instruction to clear the courtroom and seal transcripts. While the decision now serves as a warning to other judges, the opinion also provides for circumstances for private proceedings if there is an overriding interest. Where that line might be in making the case for that interest is why UH Law Professor Ken Lawson stopped by our studio earlier this morning, and I asked him how much timing and our heightened sensitivities played into the ruling.
When you have a case this high profile, as the Didi case is, with so much local interest, I mean, probably more local interest in any case in the last several years, the public wants to know that what's going on. The public wants transparency. And so when the judge decided at this juncture, especially with everything that had happened in that trial up until that point, if you can remember what was going on last summer and everything, now all of a sudden we're having these secret meetings and the press is locked out and no one knows what's going on and there's just a bunch of speculation. It leads to people thinking, you know what, there's something going on behind closed doors. It's just not kosher, right? That somehow justice doesn't appear to be just because we don't know what's going on. And so to keep those hearings secret and to seal the transcripts, even after the trial was over, created even more speculation. I just, you know, personally, as a law professor and a former lawyer, I just wanted to know what was going on, you know. What's the big deal, right? And so when we got a chance to see the transcripts, I'm looking at it like, you know, same way the Hawaii Supreme Court did. There's no need for this, you know. She did not show a compelling reason whatsoever to seal those transcripts and to close off the media or the public.
And that seemed to be the big question, you know, the why of it, especially once we saw what was in them. It's like, well, why would she have done this? Now, we can speculate up one side and down the other, but the bottom line of it is that the Supreme Court has upheld openness in a trial. And that has also led to some speculation about the ramifications of that. Now, while, you know, folks in the media are really, really thrilled with all of this, are there any subtleties or nuances to the idea that, you know, openness should be upheld unless there is this compelling interest? Are there any ramifications that you see that you think the rest of us need to be mindful of as we go forward?
Honestly, I think it's a good opinion. And the reason for that is because it leaves the judge with the option, if she finds or he finds a compelling reason, right, to narrowly tailor the closure to meet the purpose. And then notice has to be given to the public, right, that we're going to close this proceeding. And if somebody wants to be heard, they can be heard. But the judge and the court can still close the proceeding if they can show a compelling interest. And what the court is saying is, look, when you do this, when you show that interest, when you put it on the record, your reasons why, then we can look at it objectively and say, okay, that makes sense to us. But when you just shut off the media, when you close out the public, and you don't tell us why, right, you leave us with no choice. We have to be able to review your decision. How do we know your decision is right? You put your reasons on record. And they have to be objective reasons showing a compelling interest, and that you narrowly tailor the closure to meet that specific interest. If a juror has been threatened, right, physically by one party or the other, somebody that's related to the party, then the court can take the person back in chambers, put all this stuff on record, give notice to the side, and close it. Because someone's physical safety is paramount.
So you're really talking about in criminal cases where you have potentially organized crime or other situations where you're going to have one party potentially who's not even indicted yet who might have some serious threats to his or her being.
Well, let's say that somebody comes in and accuses one of the jurors of maybe taking a bribe during the middle of a trial, right? You may not want that known because you don't know. There's not enough evidence. So to falsely accuse a juror of taking a bribe, some of those things may have to be done outside the public's view to maintain at least the sanctity of the trial.
Well, in this case, although there wasn't a bribe involved, wasn't there the whole issue about a juror potentially having information and all of that?
Yeah, but that was so speculative. I mean, you know, when you looked at it, it's like,
well, see, but that's the point. I mean, speculative is one thing, but knowledge is another, right?
So when the judge is making the record, the compelling interest, what's the compelling interest? We have a juror that's been threatened. We have a juror that's been a credible allegation of a bribe. And here are the reasons why I believe the allegations are credible, et cetera, et cetera. And here's why I'm shutting off the hearing to the public and to the media.
Do you think that those, all the reasons for compelling interest should be specified more narrowly?
No, because you never know what's going to happen in the trial. You know, I always tease you about getting your law license and practicing because you know a lot about the law. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, all kind of crazy. I mean, if anything, with the media presence now, going back to the OJ case, and it just gets stronger and stronger, we learn more about trials. We see more things that happen, right, that we wouldn't think, you know, so you don't know. And I think it's good to leave it to the trial court the way it is right now because there's an objective test that can be used and then reviewed by the higher court.
Is there anything that you see from this decision that you think the rest of us aren't paying attention to that we ought to look at a little bit more carefully?
No. Really, no. I think it's a great decision because it does balance my right, the defendant's right to a fair trial, Sixth Amendment right, against the public's right to access to it. Again, especially in this day and time, when you're talking about NSA and all the things that's going on in Big Brother, and all, we need to know that what's going on in court is just. And the only way to know that is to keep it open to the public. Right, wrong, or indifferent, there should be no secrets when it comes down to justice, especially like, and this is a great example, where there's really nothing other than speculation out there.
You sort of got into the next part of what I wanted to ask you about. Did this make us more ripe for having a decision like this from the Hawaii Supreme Court because we have such sensitivities to what happened with the NSA?
I think so. I think all that, you know, all of that has shown, or this opinion has come out during a period of time in our society to where transparency is a must, especially in the justice system. And I agree with you. I think that may have played a factor, at least in the climate of all this secrecy and, you know, with technology forever advancing. I mean, I'm watching opening statements online, right? I don't have to go to court anymore. There used to be a time when I tried murder cases that the courtroom was packed, and the Didi trial was like that. Like, you know, the public has an interest in these things. And when we have so much eavesdropping going on and concerns of privacy, I think this decision was right on time.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Ken Lawson is a professor at the William S. Richardson School of Law, where he teaches criminal procedure, criminal law, professional responsibility, evidence, and the business of law practice.